Would you all pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious gift of Holy Scripture. And as we spend a couple of minutes thinking about it now, we pray that you would open our minds that we may hear from you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been doing a series recently on some of the lesser-known prophets of the Old Testament. But fortunately for me, today is one of the better-known ones, and we've been looking at Jonah. And we've seen the video, and I'm sure that it was quite familiar to you, most of the story. Jonah and the big fish. And it seemed like a normal sort of hero story, didn't it? There was a bit of messing at the start, where Jonah didn't want to do what he should, but eventually he did, and Nineveh got saved, and they all lived happily ever after. But actually, that wasn't the end of the story. And Chapter 4, which Anne's just read to us, shows that all didn't end entirely happily. Basically, Jonah decided to have a sulk, decided to throw a bit of a tantrum. This wasn't how he expected the story to end. And I don't know whether chapter 4 was the end of the story. It's all we have in our Bibles. But I rather hope that Jonah came out the other side of his sulk. I did understand something of what God was doing. It's wonderful to have Teddy and his parents and his family and friends with us here this morning. But I have some bad news for you. I think Teddy is nearly 2, is that right? Not too far off. Nearly 1.5. It won't be long until the terrible 2s come about. Now, he probably will sail through, I'm sure, like his big brother, who has always been perfectly behaved. But I've had 2 boys as well, and I know sometimes that isn't the case. Sometimes young people start to try and assert their own authority in the only way they know how, by lying down in the middle of the aisle in the supermarket and kicking their heels and refusing to budge, or whatever it may be. But that won't be the end of their story. It might seem like it's a very difficult chapter for the parents who have to go through it, but it won't be the end of the story, and it won't mean that Teddy's parents, or any other child in that situation, that their parents would stop loving them. And since Teddy's arrival, I'm sure that you found that you are able to love more than one child without there being any lessening of how much you love each one of them. This is God's story. This is the story of a God who loved his chosen people, of whom Jonah was a part, but also loved the people of Nineveh, the enemy of the people of Israel, who had a bigger view of things than Jonah was able to have. And yet Jonah thought that he knew best. So God had a plan for Jonah, but Jonah runs away. And he just doesn't run away a little bit. He goes to a place called Tarshish, which, if we're right in what the scholars think, is somewhere like Seville or Cadiz, that part of Spain. And basically, that's as far as he could go. In those days, that's where they thought the world ended. That's as far as they had ever been. And it was in the opposite direction to where he was supposed to be going. Nineveh is in a place that we now call Mosul in Iraq. And it's about 3,500 miles away from Cadiz and Seville. You couldn't get much further away. But of course, this is significant not just for the mileages involved, but because of what it means. And it meant something to Jonah, and it means something to us. I wonder whether we ever run away from God. I know that I have in the past. I spent the best part of a decade in my 20s thinking that I could call myself a Christian but never actually bother going to church. I was wrong. I needed a church family to help build up my faith. I'm married to someone who is ordained, a priest in the Church of England. But when she first announced to me that that's what she wanted to do, I told her she was wrong. I was wrong. I wasn't listening to the plans that God had for our family. It may happen again to me, but I hope that I will always know that even when I get it wrong, God will still love me, even when he shows me why he was right in the first place, and I still decide to sulk, I hope that I will know that God will always love me. I mean, frankly, I have some sympathy with Jonah. He knew what the Ninevites were like. They were the superpower of the day. Nineveh was probably the biggest city in the known world at the time. And they were eating up the surrounding countries one by one. There was a reason for him to fear the people of Nineveh. But although he was frightened, maybe because of what his fate would be if he tried to go there, or maybe because he thought he knew what they deserved and suspected that God thought differently, whatever it might have been, he chose to think that he knew better than God. And generally, that is not the case. I wonder whether we ever refuse our relationship with God sometimes. Maybe because we're frightened of the consequences, because we know that he might ask us to do something that we don't want to do. Or maybe because we think we know what his plan is, and in our pettiness and our jealousies and our fears, we don't like that plan. Perhaps we don't like the fact that he loves all people, not just the people like us. But hey, he is God. We are not. And we should learn to play by his rules. Now, Jonah is not all bad. He may have made this big mistake, but he does come to his senses. He sees that the sailors are in peril because of what he's done, and he sacrifices himself for them. And because he takes that step, God reconnects with him. At his lowest point, God comes and finds him and miraculously saves him. It wasn't the end of his story. Even when he got to literally his lowest point, as far down as he could sink. Again, isn't that the lesson for us? We may get to points in our lives where we think that nothing can save us, but that is never true. Maybe if we've written ourselves off, we'll find that God hasn't. So then Jonah does obey the second time he's told to go to Nineveh, and he goes, and he fearlessly preaches God's word. And Nineveh repents, and there appears to be a happy ending. But as I've said, that's not the end of the story. And indeed, the story keeps going on, doesn't it? All our stories, we may think, come to particular points where everything's aligned, everything's just as it should be. But it's never the end of the story. And so we move into this chapter 4, where Jonah throws his tantrum. But he's not struck down. The story doesn't end. We're not told exactly what happens next. There may have been some more bad days, just as there may be some challenging days in Teddy's future. But they won't be the only days. We need to know that God is with us, even when it's bad, and that although sulking is very rarely a good look, he won't write us off because of it. It won't be the end of our story. Nineveh's story went on. Although it took a turn, and in 612 BC, they were destroyed by other surrounding powers. But this wasn't their story. We don't know exactly what happened to Jonah, but actually, the story we've heard isn't principally his story either. This is the story of God and his love for all of his people. This book, although it bears Jonah's name, is not his story. And it's not just our story in disguise either. This is the story of a God who never sulks even though we let him down, a God who does know what's best even though we sometimes try to think that we do, a God who will always love us. And so if there's one thing that I hope Teddy will learn from today and that you will remind him every time you light that candle in years to come, it's that God loves him. That God knows what's best for him, that he will have plans for him, but even if it's a little bumpy along the way, he will always be with him.